Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, welcome to another fan team video from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Az and I am joined by last year's season long winner. It's Josh. How are you, Josh?
I'm great, thanks mate. How about you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. I'm in a shirt today, dressed up for you. What do you think?
I know. You're doing a special show today and it's this one. It's an early slot, isn't it? So there we go.
It does feel quite early today, doesn't it? Because normally we're on at what, 12, half 12, something like that. But obviously you've very kindly able to do an early one with me because I'm on the FPL show later. I wonder how many people will get actually up at this time watching us ramble on.
It says 29 watching now. I mean, that's more than I thought already. So there we go.
29 more than I thought. Yeah.
I'm not normally up at this time, so you know, I think that these people have done well already, to be honest.
No, I know. I know the feeling. So we're going to be touching on our season-long teams. I've got that kind of at the end of the video. But the majority of this is going to be on the 100k free-to-play second chance game. So last week we did team reveals of different people who were playing. We've done an introductory video to the game as well. So if you haven't seen that, check that out on the Scout YouTube channel. But today we're going to go through kind of our teams, the finishing touches we're putting to our teams ahead of tomorrow's deadline.
It's so exciting. It was the thing I was desperate to say. Like, guys, we haven't got long now. It's literally tomorrow. It starts with your boys' local derby. So
yeah.
Local derby.
Very, very local. Yeah. It's amazing though, isn't it, where time goes? Because I remember, you know, when it first got announced and we were talking about it and we did the intro video, that was, what, a month ago? Well, a month and a half ago, probably. And now we're one day away. So
yeah, there's still time to watch that one, guys. I think that was a really useful one, actually, for complete beginners. So if you really don't know what's going on with this tournament, you've still got, like, basically before Friday at 7:45 to watch that. So I think we went through all the rules very clearly, didn't we?
We did, yeah. And if you're watching this, you're not sure kind of what we're talking about. Essentially, Fan Team is a game set up like FPL. There's a few sort of differences, and you can see those rules kind of on the website. And what they've done, they've given a free-to-play game with £100,000 worth of prizes. You can enter one free team. All you need to do is sign up to Fan Team and get verified, so 18 plus only, and then you get a free ticket into the game, and you can enter sort of other entries for £10 each. Of course, I've got the gambleaware.co.uk banner at the bottom and the 18 plus logo. Fan Team is a gambling site. Essentially, you're paying money to enter into these competitions. If you do lots of different ones, or you play the monster games or any other daily games, just, you know, obviously don't gamble beyond your means. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun, right? Fan Team. I genuinely really like Fan Team because it is a really well-designed, fun-to-play site. And it is gambling, but as long as you gamble responsibly and you gamble within your means and you have fun doing it, then it's, you know, perfectly acceptable to get involved. And I've had a enjoyable season this year getting involved in Fan Team. So I would encourage people to do the same if they have the financial means and want to do so. Right, yeah. Let's talk about the second chance game. All right, we've got to talk about Sam Allardyce first. Because obviously people have seen the videos, I imagine, on Twitter of UI, Lynn, Ben Dinery, Janny, all talking to Big Sam. So we got the call, didn't we, from the guys at Fan Team to say, you know, Big Sam's, we can basically ask him a question. So he answered different questions from us. You asked him about the which non-top six side is best defensively. I was very surprised with his answer. Were you?
Yeah, but then clean sheet straight off the bat last night. So, you know, like he's got the magic touch, hasn't he? So there we go. Like he said West Ham, by the way, guys. Mm. But I couldn't believe like the instant clean sheet. Like Norwich didn't even look like scoring really, other than one chance, I think. So Sam knows his stuff, I think.
Sam knows his stuff. It is amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's the first clean sheet in ages. And, you know, it coincided with them getting some players back as well. I mean Koufal played, who I think he'd basically been ruled out from all the reports that I'd seen, you know, the last couple of days, which was great for me as a Ben Johnson owner in FPL. But Koufal came back and Creswell came back as well. I mean, what are the odds? Both of them coming back for that match. So they are looking better now defensively.
It's great to see Creswell back. He's such an integral part of that team, literally. Admittedly, they were losing. They did miss Souček last night. I believe he's got COVID, I think. So makes him a little bit weaker, like defensively, in terms of the people protecting the back four or back five. But Creswell and Koufal are their best fullbacks, aren't they? So,
yep.
Very good to have them back.
And of course, we were all on board the Bowen train, both of us in pretty much everything. Amazing performance from him, wasn't it?
He is just unbelievable. And like, I think we have to just consider him moving forward as well. I know they don't have a double this week, but like the form he's in at the moment, like it's hard to ignore him, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, with Antonio just continuously moving out wide and Bowen just coming through the middle over and over again, he's by far the standout option in that West Ham side. And they've got some good games coming up. He's a lock-in for me.
And I think he's the one who's got... I think if one of them was to get benched in the coming period, it would be Antonio as well, genuinely. Yeah. I think Bowen is genuinely more nailed than Antonio now, which is crazy, but that's the form he's in. And he seems like a really like high fitness guy. So it seems like he'd be able to just run all day probably. So yeah, I think he's more nailed.
Yep, absolutely. We recorded this at 10 past 10 on Thursday. So if you listen to this later on the audio, on the podcast version, just to let you know, we've got, like you said, we've got quite a few people in the chat. So any questions people want to ask, it's quite nice because it's a smaller kind of group of people on these fan team videos. We can pretty much answer every question that people have. So if you've got any questions, then, you know, we're here to talk about them. In fact, we'll take some questions now just before we get into we're going to go straight into our kind of team reveals. No clickbaity stuff today, just straight in. Nuclear Atoms wants to know what drink I caused to pick Pinnock. It was New Year's Day when I got him in, so I was a little bit worse for wear. I don't think it was that bad a pick.
I mean, I got Jansen in and he got 1 point less than Pinnock. So Pinnock outscored my boy. So we go.
Defenders are funny in a double game because a lot of the time we see a defender be, you know, the top goal scorer or have top goal scorer, not even the top goal, point scorer, you know, or really high up the things, you know, like Ivanovic or, you know, these guys. And I thought the Villa game might be a stretch, but I thought Southampton and Brentford have got a decent chance in that game. And I got rid of Reece James, so it wasn't like I got rid of a player who had a match. And Pinnock's stats are good for the season. Lots of touches in the area, lots of shots. But yeah, it was... that Southampton game. Oh, man. I was saying to Mark yesterday, I was playing football and I came out and I thought, right, I had my fingers crossed. I went to my car, my phone was in the car. I was like, right, 0-0, come on. 4-1. So what? It's like the worst it could be.
It's just one of those, and like we experienced the sort of low point of the spectrum, I think, where it's just the zero or one pointer or whatever over the two games. But, you know, maybe another time that'll be a double digit score. You know what I mean, if we get lucky with a fluke goal or something. I remember Matt Loughton did it last year. He got an absolutely huge score in a double game week, like, and he's not even an attacking defender, he just happened to smash one in from 30 yards, I think. So it can happen.
We weren't far off because Roslev got the goal in this season in the first match and got about 15 points for the game week. So we just went for the wrong one. Our idea was right, Josh.
Back next time. It's all right. Yeah, don't worry.
And we'll never be put off because the doubles are always so fun. Kyle asked how much Burnley we're going to see in our drafts. I hope that I'm going to see lots in your draft, given all that you talked about. Don't see any.
I've had to go easy on it, mate. I think they're going to get a game called off. They're stricken by COVID as much as Leicester are at the moment. So the fact that Leicester are playing Burnley, I think that's just a disaster of a game to start with in the double game week. Like, Burnley have just sold Wood, I presume. I presume that comes off their quota of like 13 players as well. Like, because
that's a very good point, yeah.
Because like Leicester are obviously counting their AFCON players as like taking off their quota towards 13. So I can't see why Burnley wouldn't be allowed to like take a player off that they've sold. You know what I mean? So
that
I think
Burnley list is a massive risk, isn't it, to be called off?
Both teams are going to be really close to the 13 player mark, which is the black and white rule, which the Premier League have set out, by the way. So I'm really worried about the Burnley Leicester game in particular, but I think Leicester Spurs has got a chance as well of not going ahead. So it's really something to think about with picking these teams, I think.
I saw a good question on Twitter earlier, which I now know the answer to, but I'll ask you to clarify. Obviously, got the safety net in the second chance game. What happens in a double game week if they miss the first game but play the second?
So if they don't start the first game but do start the second, you'll still get the same player. You'll still get the player you picked originally. Basically, if they start either the first game or either the second game, you will still get the player you chose, basically. It's only if they don't start both games.
Correct. That's testing you. That's testing you. You passed for once.
It was like recited, that was. It's like I've said it so many times. It was, I feel like I'm more than happy to keep going through it, though, because it's a really important feature of this game.
It was really good. Okay, we've got quite a few questions, but they all kind of relate to the second chance game. So let's go straight into the team reveals. I've got mine on the screen, first of all. So I've gone for like a kind of a balanced approach. Sarr in goal, Trent, Lamptey and Reguilon. Foden, Maddison, Jota, Bowen, Kane, Dennis and Ronaldo. Thoughts?
Bowen in there immediately, the form man. I think like he's got leads this week. It's not a double game week, but it's about the next best thing, I think, isn't it? I love the Bowen pick, and I think he'll go like relatively high on, but not like, because he doesn't have a double, I think that will reduce his ownership from what it like should be in reality, you know what I mean? Which is absolutely great. The rest of it, I mean, it's a lot of what we've talked about. I don't think there's anything that like stands out as ridiculously like untemplate. I like Sarr in goal because I think Wolves are one of the best defences in the league. I thought this would be Sam's answer, actually. Did you? I thought he'd say Wolves, did you?
Definitely.
Yeah, they have been absolutely immense defensively.
Which would have been the correct answer as well. Yeah. Objectively, like, the correct answer.
Yeah, but I don't think there's anything that you can fault, really. I think it's a nice, safe team, and I think you'll get off to a really good start with this one. Are you planning on captaining Kane, or are you tempted by Ronaldo?
No, definitely Kane. I've been, and that's a question we've got in the chat, Kane or Ronaldo. Got to discuss it, says Herman Singh. For me, I think they're both near enough essential this week, given that we're basically building a team, and they've got games coming up, no blanks coming up. Both got good double game weeks on, it looks like, unless Kane doesn't play against Leicester, which I guess is a bit of a concern because Ronaldo then has that Brentford game. But assuming the games go on, I really like Kane in these two. Such good records against the two sides. So yeah, he'd be my captain. How about yourself?
I'm going to go Ronaldo, I think. I'm just too worried about the Leicester game. I think on paper, they still only have 12 players. And I don't see another one coming back. So if they choose to request the postponement, I believe it will get postponed. It's just a case of whether morally they choose not to like request the postponement for the Tottenham game, especially. I think Ronaldo is just more likely to have two fixtures. So, and I think you could throw a blanket over them this week. I think it's really close between the two, to be honest, in terms of if they both did play two. So I'm just going to go with the guy who I think is more likely to have two fixtures.
Christoph says about captaining Dennis. Would you go that far? Would you go down to Dennis or King?
I think that's the best of the differential punts. I think the two Watford strikers are the best of, they've got two good fixtures. I don't think you can really complain about it, to be honest. I think if you really don't fancy Kane and Ronaldo, and let's be honest, some people won't have both of those in their drafts because they'll go in a different direction. So if you don't fancy the one you've got for whatever reason, I think the Watford boys are like the next best options, I think.
Yeah, nice. So a few things I mentioned with my team. Obviously, I've got Foden in there, but I've got the safety net with him. I think Foden is, he's like one of the first names that I had because the safety net just eliminates that annoyance of having Foden and him not starting, just gets rid of that. So it means I either get him and he plays, or I get sort of one of the other mids. I think Gundogan's on there, Bernardo Silva, for example. So I've always got a Man City midfielder. I just love Foden. And you know, Lynn has got Mahrez in her team, for example. Obviously, I know he's at AFCON now, but I think he's a great option too.
Yeah, but both work really well. Just a little nuance of the rules, obviously, you'll never get like a 1-point cameo from like the likes of Mahrez or Foden, because if they don't start, they'll be replaced straight away, which is absolutely amazing. So it makes him an even better pick, I think, like both Mahrez and Foden. So you're both on the right lines there, I think.
Thank you. I've also got Reguilon as well. I went to take Reguilon out this morning for Royale, but then I thought, hang on, no, one of the main reasons I like Royale in FPL is the bonus points, which obviously you don't have in fan team, and the fact that I think Royale's at the moment a little bit more nailed on, given that Reguilon's just disappeared off the face of the earth for the last few weeks. But again, that doesn't matter because you've got the safety net of having Reguilon. So to me, it's worth the extra to pay for him, who I think I would be very, very amazed if Royale outscored Reguilon in the fan team between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I think as a long-term pick, it has to be Reguilon. Like, it is a bit concerning that we haven't seen Reguilon for the last like week and a half. There haven't been any league games, but he's missed both the non-league games, basically, but the FA Cup and the League Cup. So we'll just keep an eye on if Conte says anything. I think he's been quite honest so far, actually, Conte. So I'm sure he'll be asked about it tomorrow. Yeah. But yeah, just keep an eye on that one. Reguilon is definitely the better long-term pick on Fantin, though.
One thing I haven't really considered that much is starting with Salah, because obviously I've got Kane and Ronaldo in there. I think I've got 300k in the bank or something like that in this team. I guess the move to Salah for me is quite easy, because I can move one of Kane or Ronaldo and get rid of one of these mids. I'm not sure which one I'd want to lose out of these four mids. I guess Madison probably out of the four, but yeah, it's not easy. But what are your thoughts on that, starting with Salah? I did try, but I just think it means you're going out without a double game week player this week. Surely it's better to wait and just do the move.
You've got to remember as well, you could potentially lose Kane and Ronaldo to get Salah. So you could do like, because you can change formation. Mm. You could move one of them into midfield with Salah and then downgrade one to like Watkins, who might have a double game week or something like that. It's so flexible. I really like the flexibility of this. It's a little bit like Sky in that you only pick 11 players. So like you can do these formation changes just like in one move. You know what I mean? It's really quite exciting. I'm not sure. I don't think I'd want to lose any midfielders like you say, really.
No.
Like maybe you'd limit your Liverpool exposure, because I know they've got a blank coming up. So maybe you would lose Jota for Salah, if that makes sense. But like, I'm not thrilled with it. And like, I know there's like some talk that Leeds and Villa might have a double game week next week. Now, if they do, you're going to want Rafinha and Watkins in, probably, aren't you? Or Rafinha and Ings or something. So it might be a hit straight off the bat, to be honest. It might be like Kane straight out, because he's got Chelsea next week, I think. So you might want to lose Kane next week anyway. So it's really exciting, actually.
It's going to be interesting, because someone asked in the chat about the transfers. So transfers basically roll over each week, but unlimited. So unlike FPL, you can basically bank unlimited transfers. So it's going to be really hard to bank transfers, given, you know, the blanks and all that kind of stuff. But in some ways, I guess easier, because you've got the safety net of players. You don't have to transfer them out, because you know you're going to get a player. Which is why picking players at the kind of the top of the pyramid, you know, of prices, just gives you that extra. Well, I don't want to say safety net, but it does. That's exactly what it does. And it's why, you know, when you end up coming down the list, maybe you haven't got the budget, you then might have to actually make transfers that you could have avoided if you'd gone for players higher up the points target, right?
Yeah, the only thing I'd say about this is, as we know, in the last 5-6 weeks, we've had to make transfers galore, and it's been hits galore across the board for every single player who's playing, I'd say. Like, I mean, there's just been so many blanks and doubles just surprising us that like you've had to react the week before, if that makes sense. So like, as people have said on Twitter and stuff, the planning aspect has to some degree gone out the window, and I can't really see it changing over the next 3-4 weeks, because obviously there's talk of a game week 23 being a double. Chelsea then blank in 24 and 25, Brighton blank in 24, Arsenal blank in 25 and also 27, Liverpool, Chelsea and Leicester blank in 27. We can't just go without all these players. They're great picks, like a lot of these. So like, I think you just have to like accept that, to begin with at least, you might be like doing a transfer every week. You might be even taking a hit some weeks, but you just have to sort of prepare in certain spots. Like, I like the Watford boys up front, for example, because I think they're decent long-term picks. I think Bowen's a good long-term pick and probably doesn't blank. So you can pick some like positions in your team where you're going to be holding them for weeks and weeks and weeks. But then some of the likes of like the Brighton defender we talked about, you've probably got to lose him in 2 weeks if they're blank, or you accept a zero for 1 week, which is another option. Yeah, I think, and the Wolves goalie is a great long-term pick as well. So I think you've got the balance right here of like good long-term picks, but also some that some spots in your team where you'll be on and off different players, such as Rafinha, as I talked about next week, maybe.
It's a very different game to a lot of other fantasy games. I mean, you had the Euros game and like the Champions League game, which was, you know, kind of similar to this, but it was like the group stages, wasn't it? And then went into the other rounds. Whereas this is a much longer period to have this kind of safety net kind of feature activated. We do get a wild card here that we can use, and that's going to be crucial, I think. Even more crucial than usual. When do we use that? Because there's so many potential blanks and doubles coming up between now and the end of the season. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
There's lots of entry points for this wild card. It's probably the most, it's probably even more interesting than like the main game or when to use your wild card in FPL. It's like, because on fan team, as we know, this is the only chip you're going to get to help you.
Yep.
So on FPL, I know some people have still got 2 free hits left plus their wild card, you know what I mean? Or they've got like triple captain to maybe boost their points 1 week rather than just like having to accept a bad week. Like here, you need to really be careful with your wild card if you can help it. The only counterpoint to this is you do get to roll all these unlimited transfers. So in theory, you could make it so you have 2 or 3 wild cards throughout this period, but you have to be very, very strict with yourself in not using transfers like week after week after week. I think good weeks for the wild card, I think 27 is not a bad week. Mm. That's obviously when Liverpool have a complete blank. Now you could maybe carry 1 or 2 Liverpool through that and just accept a zero. Or like obviously 28 as well. So like you could dead end your Liverpool out and then bring them back in 28 after they're blank kind of thing. So, but I'm aiming for 36, I think. I think that's been touted as like the really big double to finish the season. And I think if you can wild card in 36 with the really big double and then just pick a team for 3 weeks, I think that makes it like such a powerful wild card where you can really exploit fixtures and teams who still have things to play for.
Look at that. Top advice from the champ. Top advice from the champ. Speaking of the champ, let's take a look at your first team that you sent me. Yeah, I mean, we've gone very different with our teams. Your team is De Gea in goal, Trent and Robertson, Laporte and Cancelo, Foden, Madison, Rafinha, King, Watkins and Ronaldo. So, I mean, loads of things here. Firstly, triple City, which I hadn't considered, double Liverpool at the back and no Jota. Talk me through it.
So the no Jota thing is based on the fact that I don't want to have triple Liverpool without Salah. I want to leave the Salah spot open so I can be super flexible and I don't have to like, I don't have to sell Robertson or have to sell Jota to get back to Salah. Mm. Like I can just sort of do it in potentially 2 moves if I sell a Ronaldo or a Kane, one of the premium strikers, if I sell Ronaldo in this case. The double City defence, I'm really trying to do something different, and they are the best defence in the league. And I just know people won't go with this to start with on the second chance game. Like, this could be a really sneaky way of getting ahead of people. Like, I'm always trying to like take a few risks early on to try and like get ahead of the pack. There's ultimately like going to be 12,000 people in this tournament, I'd say, maybe even more, I'm not sure. So like, I think trying to be a bit different is definitely in my thinking with this exact team. And I think like doubling Liverpool and City defence, I think that's quite a safe way to do it. I think they'll probably tick over with the points, won't they? Both of those like double ups at the back. I really like De Gea in goal. My midfield is kind of similar to yours. I've got Rafinha in ahead of a potential double next week. I'm hoping he has a double with this team in mind. And then, yeah, just Watkins for the same reason with great fixtures to come, I think.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thoughts on Coutinho in the thumb? I think 7 million. So I think this is he 6'5 on fan team?
6'5 on fan team. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's an unbelievable price. I think if they double next week, he will be very much in people's thinking. And I think people will find it hard to resist at that price, I think. I'm not of the opinion that he's guaranteed to start this weekend, which would mean a potential 1 or 0 in your team from the start. Although the safety net, you probably will get like someone like McGinn, which is actually like not a bad idea if you think about it. I don't mind that, actually, thinking about it with McGinn as the safety. I think McGinn's the safety. It might be Buendia, actually. I think he's the one that's next down. But I know McGinn's definitely below, so you'll definitely get someone, is what I'm saying.
It's Buendia next.
Yeah, I thought it was Buendia, yeah. So yeah, it's Buendia, and then I think you've got like another 3 or 4 guys below that, so you're definitely going to get someone on for Coutinho this week.
Yeah.
I'm tempted with that now, because their fixtures from 23 are absolutely amazing. And the only problem is if they do have a double next week, if he only starts 1 out of 2 games, because again, as I say, you won't get a replacement for him for like the second game or anything. You'll just get him like starting one and coming off the bench for one, or starting one and not coming off the bench. So it's something to think about. But yeah, I'm a bit tempted, actually, now you've said it like this. I think it's not a bad pick at all. And the price, as I said, is so cheap. It's like, I don't think I'd ever imagine that we would have got Philippe Coutinho for like 6.5 million on any game, to be honest.
Would you have thought a couple of years ago that Aston Villa would be signing him on loan with an option to buy for 30 million after Barcelona paid 115?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? And I do think it makes Ings and Watkins better options as well, by the way, because he's such a creative source. Added to this, Luca Dean coming in, by the way, who's a super attacking defender and very good crosser of the ball. I think it might be Ings who benefits from this, you know, but Watkins is also pretty decent in the air. So I think both of them are going to be really, really helped by this. I just hope they keep like a sort of 4-3-3 system or something like that, where Coutinho, Watkins and Ings all actually play in the same team, rather than him dropping one of the strikers or benching one of the strikers or something, because that's obviously a disaster then for whichever striker you go with, really. But I'm really excited about Aston Villa, are you?
I am. Yeah, I think I can't quite believe the signings they've made in this window, you know, with Dean coming in and Coutinho. I mean, it's the amount of creativity they've got in that side now. You know, if they can get Bailey back as well, can have Dean, Bailey, Buendia, Coutinho, you know, and then Watkins and Ings up front. It's frightening. I'm really interested to know what kind of Villa's targets are, because the signings they're making indicate they are really pushing for what, top six, top four? Could they? I mean, obviously they need probably some centre backs and a proper centre mid, but if they sorted those areas out and they've got, you know, Cash, I think is perfectly good. Cash, Dean, Martinez, Ings, Coutinho. These are top four. I mean, top four is a stretch, just given how good the top four are, but top six is got to be on the target, right?
It absolutely has to be. And I know they were linked with James Ward-Prowse in the summer. I think he's a perfect signing for this team, by the way. I think this might be the next piece in the summer again. I don't think he goes now, obviously, but I think in the summer, this is going to be something they really consider, because he is an unbelievable footballer. And like that, he fits this team perfectly. I think next to McGinn and maybe a holding mid, play three attackers in front, and your defence is well protected, and you've also got super creativity as well as like a dead ball specialist as well. Not sure who they'd sign at centre back, but they do probably need some reinforcement there, I think. Top six has got to be like the aim. I think the owners are very ambitious. I think next season they'll be aiming for top six. And if they don't get it, I think changes will be made. It's that kind of industry, isn't it? But they need to be pushing. They've got all the pieces now. Like, Gerrard can't have any excuses, can he, really, with this team? If they're given like a year to gel together, this is a great team.
He's being backed, isn't he? I think, you know, when you have a team, because that's what Nuka Atom says in the chat, it mentions West Ham. But when you have a team like West Ham who can consistently challenge for these top six places, I think it just gives the rest of the league a bit of hope that with the right signings and the right manager, they too can compete. And that's, you know, when Leicester won the league, you know, I think that was so good for just football in general. And we want to see these. I mean, Everton tried it and failed. But I think Villa look like they could really build something off the back of this. I'm just amazed that they could get Dean and Coutinho. I just wouldn't have never thought those two players would go to Villa, but they clearly believe in the project.
I think my early thoughts is this almost turns into like a top nine now next season. Not this season, I think, but next season. I think you've got Leicester, West Ham and the top six, like the top six, as we always talk about. They're all great. They're all absolutely great teams. Like I love Leicester's team. They're absolutely depleted at the moment, but they still got that result at Liverpool last week, at home to Liverpool, sorry, which was an absolutely phenomenal result. They've got a great spine. And then you've now got Villa challenging with a team that's like 70% of the way there, I'd say, by now, like with Dean, Coutinho, and, you know, they've got a really, really nice team. I think this becomes like a sort of, you're almost going to have the Premier League in two halves next season, I think, really, like with the way this is. You've probably got City, Chelsea and Liverpool pulling away at the top a little bit, but then that race for fourth place, it's going to be amazing this year, and I think it'll be amazing next year as well, to be honest, with how West Ham are consistently performing so well as well. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I think we've seen disparities between top four and the rest of the league, and I think that gap is closing. But like you say, I think the difference between maybe like 9th and 11th next season could be massive.
Like staggering, because there's some teams like yourselves, Brighton obviously are a really like established Premier League team now. Like Southampton and Everton have been around for a long time, but I can't see them like pushing these teams in any way. So I do think there'll be a gap here. I think there'll be quite a big gap.
Let's take a look at your second team. So triple Wolves on this one. Sorry, it's Big Sam. No West Ham defenders here. Sar, Marcel, Semedo, Robertson, Cancelo, Foden, Jota, Rafinha. Big on him. King, Kane and Ronaldo. So what's the deal with Rafinha? You're backing him quite heavily.
Yeah, their fixtures are great. And I'm really convinced they're going to have a double next week. Looking at like the way the schedule's out, I want to be ahead on that. I'm sort of, someone just said in the chat, I think it was Kyle, Josh's team looks in a good place to roll transfers over the next 3 to 4 weeks. And I think that's exactly what I'm trying to do in spots. I can't see anyone in either of these teams I've presented that I'd want to sell in the next 2 weeks at least, until we have to start talking about Salah again. But when you're talking about Salah, hopefully I'll have 2 or 3 transfers by then, by the time I need to get him back, you know what I mean? So it should be like easy and like not having to take hits or anything or using a wild card or anything like that. Wolves here, they're very, very cheap. And I think, they're the best value defence in the league, probably. Again, they don't have a double, but they do have Southampton at home. I think they're very capable of keeping a clean sheet in that fixture. Robertson was an annoying one because I couldn't quite afford Trent in this team. So I would have gone Trent for the record if I had the option to. But I just needed to save like 0-6, I think. So I don't think Robertson's bad by any means. He's looked a lot more attacking recently. And then, the front three is the template front three, I think, really. And then, again, the midfield's the same as what I had last time, I think.
Rafinha to Coutinho, Robertson to Trent.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. Like I say, because it might be that Coutinho is the one, because they're due to double against Leeds, basically. So both of those should have a double next week. So that might be a way to think about it. Yeah, and maybe I don't need Rafinha in like all my entries. Maybe I should like spread it a bit, you know. So it's good feedback from you, I think.
That's the first. Are you not worried about Marcel? No safety net with him. And I don't even think he's first choice.
He started the last 3 games in the league. Now, He was obviously injured for a long period, and it seems like he just came straight back into the team, to be honest. Ain't Nouri hasn't played the last 3. So it seems like Markel's taking that spot, I think, in the team. Even Semedo missed one the other week. Mm. So I know Semedo's got a bit more of a safety net, but I think Markel's actually more nailed than Semedo at this very moment in time. It's worth flagging the no safety net. Maybe I should just go up a position just to make sure I've got Markel below them or something, if that makes sense. It's good. And I think that's enabled by doing the Rafinha to Coutinho move you talked about. So it's really tempting now.
Mind games. Marcel hat-trick in game 1, I'll get him in.
For the record, this Wolves triple up was where the Burnley triple up was. So I promise I was going to go for it. I absolutely promise I was going to go for it. But Burnley have got about 12 players fit at the moment. So I'm really worried about them having fixtures, to be honest.
Very nice. Right, so that's our team reveals for the second chance game. Hopefully they're useful. I think they're interesting because mine is very much what we've seen sort of from lots of people, but the two teams you presented are very different. So it just shows the different ways that you can kind of play the game. Just before we finish, let's just have a look at our season-long check-ins. So my best team's at 8-5-1. I've got another one at 2.6K. Bowen captain this week. Not a huge amount else to write home about. Had Antonio, Son, Saka all came in. And then nothing from the likes of Ronaldo, Jota, Lamptey, Ramsdale. But I'm in fairly good sort of place going forward. Just need to work out what to do with Son. I've got some money in the bank. So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure. So looking at my team, I've got Ramsdale, Trent, Lamptey, Rudiger, Son, Foden, Jota, Bowen, Antonio, Dennis, and Ronaldo. So I need to get in some doublers. I'll probably do similar to what I'm doing in FPL, which is bring in Madison. That's probably it, really. Captain Ronaldo. I'd have Ronaldo, Dennis, Madison, Rudiger, Lamptey. So like five-ish players, and I think that's probably fine. You, though, you are absolutely flying. Your top team is now at 258?
Yeah, 258. It was 256, but I went down two places overnight. I'm not sure what sort of shenanigans have been going on there, but I'll take it. It's still amazing, obviously. I'm really happy.
258 is amazing. Yeah, and you were saying to me just before you kind of, you know, we did this video, you're just saying all you've done really is just play sort of sensibly, make the obvious moves, Bowen captain, make kind of the smart picks, and you're that high up. You must be really happy with that.
Yeah, on this one, it's just been the smart picks. I mean, on my second and third teams, I captained Ivan Toney, so they've flown behind. I think the one that's now showing a second was started as fifth, but all I did was captain Bowen, and it's now overtaken all my other teams. So like, it's gone past like three of my other teams. So, as you can see, there's nothing too special about this, really. I was lucky enough to wild card in game week 20 using my first wild card, which has obviously like really paid off here, I think, like, because I haven't been taking hits in the last few weeks when everyone else has been taking loads of hits. So I think I've just gradually like snuck up just from like no minus eights, you know what I mean, or minus fours or anything. I'm also really, really well set for this week coming up. I think obviously, as you see it, I've got that similar to you, like a similar amount of doublers to you. But again, we've both got like the good single game week players, I think. Like, I think all the West Ham boys are great players against Leeds this week. I think the two Liverpool players, Jota and Trent, are amazing against Brentford this week. I just don't think you need to push the doublers too far if you've got good singlers as well. You know what I mean? I've got the Son problem as well, though. So that's definitely something I'm thinking about. Do I try and like strengthen my bench a little bit? Or do I just roll the transfer? That's my two considerations at the moment.
Well, you've got seven doublers without a transfer.
This is one thing. You're in a brilliant
position.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, the bench is really weak this week, because obviously I think Suchek's out with COVID and Son's not going to play, as we know he's going to be out for like 4 or 5 weeks. But I'm toying with, do I roll it and risk that 11 will play here? I think the fact that they've all got doubles helps the fact that they probably won't have two games postponed, any of these teams, I'm hoping anyway. So it's only really the Liverpool and West Ham players I have to worry about, really. It's a really close one. I think if I could afford Son to, like, there's just no premium mids, is the problem.
It's Fernandes, so isn't
Madison,
it? Fernandes
isn't it?
It's Fernandes if you're going up. He's the only one. And I don't have any faith in him whatsoever.
And I've already got triple United, so I can't do that.
You can't do that anyway. Yeah exactly.
I bet I'm the only one with that problem in it, already having triple United, but there you go. On some of my other teams, I have done Son to Bruno, because I think it's a fine transfer. Like, how can you turn down a guy who's, you know, still looks all right? He hasn't looked great last 2 weeks specifically, especially when he was benched. But I think he's got the potential. He's a premium asset still. I think he's got the potential to explode in a double game week still. I think you wouldn't be surprised if you saw two goals in two games, would you, from him, really? So, no. And that, taking a spot that's literally a zero pointer currently in Son, like, I'd be benching Cancelo, I think, in this team, for example, if I was to bring in Fernandes. I think that probably pays back as a free transfer, but as I say, it's like a non-discussion on this team, because I've already got triple United, so I think I'm really tempted to roll, to be honest, unless Rodgers comes out and says Leicester are going to play both games this week, in which case Madison's just great, isn't it?
A 258th place team in which you've got seven doublers and you can roll a transfer. I mean, that is, I'm a bit jealous, I'm not going to lie. So just a couple more things in the chat before we finish. Marcus94 asks, would you sell Antonio or Watkins for Kane or Ronaldo? I probably would, because I think they're probably the captain options of choice. I think, like you say, Leicester assets are too risky. I think you need one of Kane or Ronaldo, really, unless you're going to captain Dennis, but I think that's too far. I would, out of the two, I'd probably sell Watkins. I don't know, actually. Watkins got good games coming up.
I'd sell Antonio.
Would you? What, ahead of Leeds at home, though?
It's such a weird one, because like, it's that thing, are you going to prep your team ahead for the weeks to come, or are you going to just, I want the greedy Leeds points right now? As we've seen, Antonio hasn't looked great at all. Even
he
scored last week. It was quite a fortunate. I mean, he even scuffed the goal, to be honest. Like, he was lucky to score. He hit the keeper from like 2 yards. And he didn't look good again last night. This is Bowen's team at the moment, isn't it? So I think I'd sell Antonio with the view that I'm setting up my team for the next like 5-6 weeks by keeping Watkins. If there's an option to sell both, like, I mean, I wouldn't be against selling both Watkins and Antonio, I don't think, for the likes of a Kane or Ronaldo, and then maybe go down to one of the Watford boys, as we've talked about. Like, I think that's a really good double move, to be honest. But out of the two, I'd just go Antonio, but it is really close. I agree with you. It's really, really close.
Yeah. No, that's well said. Yeah, completely.
Nuclear Atom also asked about going Sace over Markel, by the way, and I think that is a really good option. I know Sace is away at the moment, but when he comes back, he's number one, got the safety net, and number two, he's got infinitely more goal threat than Markel. Yeah. So I think that's a great, great idea. Thank you for that.
See, you're learning along with all of us, Josh, as you do these. Final question from Woody. Hi, guys. Do you have any concerns about the teams that currently have many players out? For example, do you avoid Leicester players to avoid having players in your team whose games are cancelled? Yeah, we have touched on this throughout this. You're very much of the opinion that you're going to avoid. I mean, all we can do is work with information that we've got. We're going to get a press conference from Rodgers. We will know, essentially, whether they've got... They need 5 players back. From all the players they've had out in the last game, they need 5 back, and it looks like they're going to get at least 3. So there's a chance they're going to be back, but hard to know.
As I said, it's also about whether Leicester just morally say we're going to play these fixtures now, because we can't keep stacking up the fixtures when we're still in free competitions at the end of the day. Because I don't know where they'd go genuinely if they get through to all the finals of like the FA Cup and the European Conference League or whatever it is. Like, there's nowhere to put these fixtures for Leicester. They've got no free midweeks literally at all between now and the end of the season. No. So if they stack up 3 fixtures, they're going to be making it harder for themselves at the end of the season. They're going to have to play like games every 2 days, potentially, like in weeks where they've got Europe as well, or in weeks where the FA Cup weekend is, they might have to play like Friday, Monday or something. I don't know. So like, it's definitely in their interest, I think, with a relatively strong team they've got. I mean, let's be clear. They thrashed Watford 4-1 in the FA Cup last weekend with this exact team minus the 3 that are coming back. Like, with 8 players, they beat Watford 4-1, and it was their first choice, like, front 5 pretty much. So, other than Vardy, obviously. But they put out a more than good enough team with, like, Luckman, Barnes, Tielemann, Maddison. You know what? I think we'll find out by tomorrow, to be honest. I really do. I think Rodgers will say his intention, because they're due to play on Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
I think that the Premier League are trying to do it now where they give us like sort of 24, 48 hours notice for these things. I'd imagine that's a rule they've put in with the managers. So I think we'll know by tomorrow's press conferences, and it'll be the first question people ask Rodgers tomorrow. Absolutely. Are you going to postpone the game? So, what I would say for Leicester and Tottenham especially is just limit your exposure, I think. I think there's no reason to avoid them completely, but I think in Leicester's case, just having Maddison or Tielemans is fine. Just one of those is a really nice way to start, I think, without risking everything on the line by having triple Leicester, knowing that their games might get postponed. So,
yeah, nice. Josh, thank you so much, as always, for joining me on this stream. Thanks everyone for watching and listening on YouTube and on the podcast version. We will be back next week. Good luck with all your second chance teams. Make sure you lock them in before the deadline tomorrow. But yeah, we'll see you very soon.
Good luck, everyone. Remember the deadline.